This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. That's our cue for our Science Club coming to order. We asked you a month ago to build us a machine that can create art on its own and to tell us about it. And boy, did you ever. Joining me now is Ariel Zitch, our education manager and a founding member of the Science Club. She shepherded this whole project. She joins us from WAMU in Washington. Welcome.
Good morning. Afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon. And joining the club today are Mike Petrich and Karen Wilkinson. They run the Tinkering Studio at the Exploratorium in San Francisco. They're authors of a recent book, The Art of Tinkering. And the Art Machine Project is based on an activity they used in the Tinkering Studio. And they join us from UC Berkeley. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Ariel, did we get a lot of submissions? Tell us about that.
Boy, howdy, did we ever. I actually, I expected a lot from the Science Friday audience, but I have to say, diverse, numerous, original, totally different approaches to this challenge than I was even expecting.
Wow. They had their thinking caps on. And I'm sure, Karen, this project coming out of an activity that you used at the Tinkering Studio was probably not surprising to you about the kind of response that we got.
Well, I didn't know, I wasn't sure what to expect from your Science Friday listeners. But as Ariel said, very, very creative. And they're definitely tinkerers and makers out there.
Mm-hmm. And what is the tell us a bit about the Tinkering Studio at the Exploratorium.
So the Tinkering Studio is a physical place inside of the Exploratorium itself. But it's a place where we encourage people to come in, work with raw materials, use their hands. We look at a lot of science, art, and technology phenomena through projects where people kind of come in and author an idea that's unique to them. It's their very own.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, how do you define tinkering? I always thought of myself as a tinkerer, and America historically is a country of tinkerers, is it not?
Well, I think historically and throughout the world, people are tinkering. I mean, we look at tinkering as a very important way to learn about the world, learn about the things that are in front of you. It's really about getting yourself stuck and unstuck, sort of bringing yourself to the point where you're just at the edge of your understanding. And by messing around with the materials or trying to figure something out, you take that next step and you learn a little bit something new. It's really about learning about the world of science and art in a deeper, more meaningful way.
Mm. Now, Ariel, you were looking at all the submissions. It was not a contest, right? We don't have a winner.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, and there's no way we could pick one. I think what's really striking about looking at this is that there's so many different media used. There's so many different levels of engagement. We had everything from 7 and 4 year olds to artists that have been in residence at major institutions, architects, roboticists. I mean, the point would be lost, I think, if we had made this a competition. And what I see just in looking over some of the submissions is really this outpouring of a creative interpretation of stuff that's already in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So we've got it. Let's get an example of a few of your favorites that you came in, Ariel. What would you like us to? Well, we can't see them, but they're up on our website, right? We have a whole website full of them.
Indeed. So if you check us out at sciencefriday.com/scienceclub, you'll get an opportunity to kind of look into this gallery and really what. You know, what struck me were a few things. There are some patterns. So as I mentioned before, I'm really into rotation, right? And it seems like a lot of people are too. These rotational machines, these spinning types of art, they kind of represent exactly what a machine is intended to be, right? Something that makes it easy to do something. In this case, spinning art was a really easy way to make really vivid images. And so we saw that over and over and over again. And in every way, it was a little bit different each time. Mm-hmm. The other thing that struck me was that kids are just the most extraordinary hackers.
Kids.
All these kid submissions. Yeah, well, and, yeah. It makes perfect sense because they're inquisitive and they hang out with these objects in their lives all the time, right? Toys. But kids were repurposing their toys in some really unique ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about a few in particular. I saw them. They were really amazing. There's this one with rolling balls, right? Rolling balls around. And let's listen to the video of that.
My name is Jack, and this is my art machine. So this marble goes down, hits the paintbrush, which makes this paintbrush stroke. And with every stroke, the paintbrush paints a little bit of it.
Okay,
all the primary and secondary colors, and I made it out of this. Thank you.
It reminded me a little of Rube Goldberg there.
Yeah, absolutely. Jax, you know, he was one of the first ones to get his piece up. And what I loved most about it is what actually got created from simply knocking a suspended paintbrush was actually pretty interesting looking. But he also had this clever idea of wanting to release the ball, get that paintbrush swinging in motion, but then he wanted the ball to return back to him so he didn't have to go pick it up across the room. So I love that little example of, you know, kind of a need for solving a problem that he saw with his machine.
Mm-hmm. Karen, how did what people sent in to us for our science club compare to the kinds of things that you see at the museum?
Well, we see a lot of creative ideas and solutions to things and people kind of posing unusual problems. But what I loved so much about this one, when we were initially cooking up this idea with Ariel, you know, we were talking about using science to create art and what kinds of things did we imagine people would send in. And my ideas for what they were going to send in totally paled in comparison. What kind of an invitation to tinker, you know, that simply hashtag machine art, and then you get the rocking of a boat, drones, trebuchets, breast pumps, melted crayons, and arthropods. What I loved so much is that by a simple challenge, you get this incredible variation in outcome.
You think you know what you're going to.
The breast pump was surprising.
Which one?
Oh.
The breast pump.
The breast pump was a huge surprise. Now
that you've mentioned it, you've got to describe it.
No, I can't leave that one hanging, and it was. So it was a potato hanging on a string that was had a paintbrush stuck into the potato, so that as that potato dangled, it kind of wobbled the paintbrush on paper, and then they used the breast pump to kind of tug at the suspended potato to pull it around on a page. I mean, that's a pretty elaborate repurposing of a device in your life that I would not have expected.
Well, and I think this invitation really did that. It allowed people to take the chance to ask the question maybe they were afraid to ask before, or to try something that was just incredibly crazy, but here's an opportunity and a venue to share something that they might have always thought about or may think about now in a new way.
That one also had a pretty clever title. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it was the Lactation Art Station.
Mike, did you have any favorites of your own that you want to share?
You know what
us?
I loved? Yeah. I loved seeing all the things that looked like they almost weren't going to work. And so there were a lot of people writing about their projects and saying, you know, I think I'm going to try this next. Or we even had people sending in pieces that weren't quite working yet, but asking how they might get some help in motorizing these things. I also liked the fact there was a 6-year-old boy, Michael, who was testing his hypothesis that the arm length of the contraption that he was building would actually influence the size of that marking area. And so to see these projects in process, I thought was really wonderful.
Yeah. Our number 844-724-8255. If you'd like to share with us your project or talk about a project, 844-SciTalk. Here on Science Friday. You can also tweet us at SciFry, and we'll maybe give you some hints on how to continue this project on your own. And one of the most interesting concepts behind this was having people video what they were doing and send us the videos of the project. And in particular, there was one video of a video tour of the whole classroom, right? People were working on, you were sort of flying around from one project to the other, seeing all these terrific little projects on the desks of all these kids.
Well, you first. What I found so inspiring about that was that it's from an art and tech class. There are schools in this country where kids can actually take classes like art and technology fused into the same class period. And, you know, this tour that we got was at the hands of the instructor of that class. And he was walking around and you could see both the, like, intellectual freedom that those kids were getting to express in their classroom, but also the collaboration. There was no team or group of individuals that weren't working together on these cool random solutions to this art machine challenge.
Mm-hmm. And was that part of the project, is that you'd have to take a video and send it to us?
Well,
so
we
it didn't
tried
have
to get
to be
people
a video.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to get people just to capture some effort that they had made and then to share it with others. You know, a science club, in its best sense, is just what Ariel described, a group of people sharing these experiences together, asking each other questions and taking new ideas and modifying their pieces. So we try to figure out whatever ways we possibly can to share where you are in your process.
Right. So photos worked, but the videos, I have to say, those just captured it completely for me. Are you familiar with those things called hex bugs? Do you know what those are? They're these little, they just kind of jitter and jump around. Somebody had the idea to make a barricade around a xylophone and then throw hex bugs down inside of that barricade. And it was a musical composition in that case.
And
so
this is,
not,
and
not
this is what this is what it sounded, because we have that hex bug right here. That was cool. Jumping around on the xylophone. Yeah.
Yeah, repurposed toys. Two types.
Now, Ariel, I know you didn't set many rules for the for the demonstrations, but there were a few rules. You said at the beginning were safety, got to be safe projects.
Yep.
And no living things. We're not going to torture any animals here, right?
Yeah.
How well did the people who followed those, how well did they follow those rules?
So our science club members actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
We did have some internal discussions about a couple of them. So, which is to say, you know, we get these submissions and we're thinking, okay, so is a guy holding up a board in front of a trebuchet throwing a paint-filled balloon, does that count as use of a living thing? Because presumably he's a consensual participant in this, and, you know, he's got a fur hat on and sitting in a field holding up a board waiting to be on the receiving end of this paintball. We decided that was okay. The only other organisms that were represented were already deceased or were exuvia. So in this, the example I'm thinking of is actually this really extraordinary submission by a gentleman who's an expert in building glass apparatus for chemistry purposes. He actually created one where he can create these shadows on glass using a heated element, essentially, and depositing silver, these kind of silver particles onto a glass thing. You have to check out the website to see this, but he made it very clear that none of these insects were dead. They were just the skins. They were the exoskeletons of these organisms, and that you know, he would never harm a living thing for this. So we actually did all right.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Ariel Zitch, Karen Wilkinson, and Mike Petrich about our science club, which we assigned you a month ago to come up with a machine. Some machines could be simple. We didn't really put a lot of parameters on it, and that would make some artwork. And boy, did you guys send some stuff in. And talking with Ariel about the rules of no safety. To be very safe, I'm thinking ahead of myself because I saw one challenge. There was one thing with a salad spinner.
Oh, yeah. My, yes.
You want to describe it, Ariel? This really, I think, sort of broke a rule because it was go ahead.
Well,
why didn't you describe it?
It was exactly that. So that was the other one where we sat on it for a couple minutes to think about it. So salad spinner art, where you put fireworks into a salad spinner and then pump the salad spinner so they spin around and create this kind of spray of colorful smoke. Very pretty. Clearly artistic, questionably safe. Definitely posted that one with the hashtag don't try this at home, because, you know, I mean, and they eventually settled on, I think, a little food coloring that they also jammed into the side of the salad spinner. So it sprayed food coloring in addition to smoke and fireworks. You know, a big kid version of a project, to be sure. Yeah. And I think one not to be done without adult supervision. Yes.
But I think interesting that these were young men. I mean, these are young men in the neighborhood. They were on their porch. I mean, could you imagine that these are science club members actually taking this very seriously and really getting engaged in what they were doing? I really loved the mix from young to old, expert to novice.
Yeah,
it was really wonderful.
Because it did take a lot of planning, right? It took a lot of thinking about, a lot of planning. And they took it
very
seriously.
You have to be dedicated to doing these things, and you have to be willing for it to not work. And I think if there's one tenet that we really care about, it's taking an idea, bringing it into life, and then trying to figure out what I can learn from doing it once, and then what I take from that to the next experiment, and so forth.
Right, I particularly like that this one was a slightly subversive, you know, science experimentation.
Probably got a lot of people watching that one than the other ones. Let me go to the phones, because we have some interesting listeners on the line. Lauren in Livingston, New Jersey. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Yes, hi. I'm loving your program. and the discussion. And I'm actually just left school. I'm a preschool teacher, special education teacher, and I have a love of junk, and I tie that into my classroom. And recently, being close to West Orange, New Jersey, where Thomas Edison had his laboratory, I was able to work with the kids on developing a toy, developing something that is made from junk and has a purpose. So I'm collecting dialogue with these 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, and they're repurposing this material and coming up with some amazing ideas. And your discussion is leading me to wanting the next step of actually making some of these ideas work.
Well, go to our website at sciencefriday.com/what, Ariel?
/Science Club.
Science Club and sciencefriday.com/Science Club. And you can watch these videos and get some ideas, perhaps learn from them for you to try on your own or have some new stuff come up with.
The idea that Lauren has, though, of repurposing, taking something and reimagining a new for it is really, to me, one of the fundamental great things about tinkering. You know, seeing things anew, mashing up and remixing stuff.
Ariel, any thoughts now for the next Science Club project?
Oh, my. Well, you know,
how do you top this one?
it's going to be hard, I have to say. So, yes, we're taking suggestions, actually. I want to know what people want to do, and I want to keep it in this space where, actually, there's a lot of ways to do it correctly. Science is an exploratory enterprise. It's intrinsically exploratory, and we want everyone to feel that kind of joie de vivre that comes over you when the moment you realize that you're doing something that no one's done before. So if we can replicate that sensation again in the next Science Club, I think we'll have hit it. But it's going to be a surprise.
And you can watch all that stuff up on our website at sciencefriday.com/scienceclub. And we want to particularly thank you, Mike Petridge and Karen Wilkinson, for all your help in making this a rousing success.
Mm-hmm. They run happy to be part of it.
You're welcome. And we're happy to have you. They run the Tinkering Studio at the Exploratorium in San Francisco and authors of the recent book, The Art of Tinkering. Thank you, Ariel.
Mm-hmm,
Ariel Zitch, Science Friday's education manager and a founding member of the Science Club.